beautiful people of the internet.
And welcome back to a new episode of Conversations with Friends.
We're back from a little summer break.
Yeah, we're happy and well rested and tanned.
Yeah, Carol's so tanned. Like, I'm just looking at you right now and it's crazy. Like, I think I'm losing my tan, but yeah, we got a bit of tan in Portugal. And,
yes, and we got a little bit of a summer break with the podcast. So yes. We're back with new good ideas.
We hope you're all well rested as well and took some time in the summer to be with your family, your friends, and just, yeah, collected fun memories. I mean, summer's not over yet, obviously.
Yeah, we're talking about as if we're already in winter.
Yeah, no, but like all vacation's kind of over. Sad. Aww. I feel like it went by so quick. Like, we're looking forward to it for so long and then it just like went within seconds, but you know.
Yeah, we're happy that, no, we hope that you're happy that we're back. Yes. With our first episode of the new season. And yes, as always, we start with our gems of the week.
Yes, of course.
And obviously, one of the gems is starting the new season and having some new episodes coming up. But surprise, surprise, Therese and I also have a like new thing that, like, it was like Therese's idea to come up with a Spotify account for the podcast, apart from like the podcast account, if that makes sense. And so, yeah, we're making some cool playlists on this account.
Yes.
Playlists on this account, fitting every mood that you can have.
Whether you're crying in bed or you're driving in the car with your girls, you can just tune in and...
I know, just getting ready for anywhere. And yeah, I'm having heaps of fun too. Because I love doing playlists. So I'm just like in my habitat.
When I told Carol about the idea, I was like, it was kind of unspoken already that she's going to do the playlist, because I love music as well, but you're just like very good with finding the right music for the right moods. And I've already like listened to some of them and like already love the titles. So there's literally everything for whatever you feel. So if you guys want to feel connected to us and look for some new summer tunes, winter tunes, whatever your mood is,
yeah, we'll
publish it on the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe also put a link in the Spotify so you can just click on it and listen. And yeah, because we want to create like a platform, not just like talking like there's a podcast, but also come up with new ideas, maybe with some video content as well. And then like also have music, because I think music is a very big and important part for everyone to connect and just...
Yeah, for sure.
Feel their emotions through or like connect with their emotions. So yeah.
And it's just always really fun to like give the playlist like names and put photos in, and it's just like...
You got really creative. I was like, oh. Because literally my playlists are just like gym, even though I don't even go to the gym anymore, or like, I don't know.
Chill.
Yeah.
No, it is sad. Really fun. It was really fun. You guys should definitely check it out. We're going to publish them as soon as possible. And right now, like, it's more like summery, but I also start making like some autumn, fall vibes, and then winter. But yes, you guys should be excited, hopefully. But anyways, any more gems of the week? Or was that...
No. Obviously, also, you guys can let us... like send us messages on Instagram if there's any songs that you would love, and maybe we will put them on the playlist. But yeah, just so we can like chat a bit about music as well. But no more gems of the week for this. There'll be more gems.
No
to come.
More.
But we're keeping it short because we have a beautiful guest on in this episode today. So we're starting it with a guest. And yeah, today we're talking to Ayoma Nook. She's a South Sudanese model and educator who grew up in Australia and has just recently moved to Europe to further her modeling career. So yeah, we met her like a few weeks ago and instantly fell in love with her bubbly and outspoken and absolutely hilarious personality.
Yeah, and Therese and I, like, we really wanted to have her on the podcast. We immediately were like, oh, we want her on the podcast because she's perfect. And yes, to like hear her story from the beginning on, as she was born in a refugee camp and then walking the runway nowadays in like fashion shows, and as well as like diversity in the modeling industry, and also talking about how to gain confidence within finding your voice in the world. And Therese and I had heaps of fun talking to her, and we hope you love our first guest of the new season as much as we do. So enjoy and grab a cup of tea and just...
Yeah, let us know what you think, and we'll talk to you in our next episode.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Hello, beautiful.
Hello.
How are you going?
I am really well. It's sunny in Berlin. And everybody is like dressed in summer wear.
Yeah, so you are as well.
I am.
It really is. I love the vibe. We're going out later, so.
We are going out later.
Everyone's ready already.
Yeah.
We're so happy. I'm not wearing this. I'm going to dress like a slut.
I love it. That's, you know, your Berlin
vibe. That's the Berlin vibe for today.
We're talking about how funny it is when you go out in Berlin and you just like stop going in the club. Like the club closes at like 3, 4, 5. So the sun comes up already and you just feel like walk of shame.
Literally, that's like the only downside of summer. Like I love everything about summer except that when you get out and it's light and you're like, have I slept? Like, is this just a dream? And it all just feels like a blur and you're like, what the hell am I doing?
Anyways, welcome back to the podcast. You're actually our first guest for our third season.
Wow.
I know.
So, I'm so glad I could like actually make it. I was like talking to Dang and I was like, look, I think I'm going to cancel on the girls because like I just want to hang. And then he's like, he had my phone. I was about to like cancel. Mm. He like grabbed it. He's like, no, you're going to go do that podcast. I was like, oh, fuck. All right. Okay. And then I was like, no, it would actually be nicer to be here with you guys. And I was going to see you guys anyways later on. So I was like, may as well do it. It's like an hour. So
be productive in the morning and then be productive later, in the morning. You know?
Like those people that run at 5 a.m. and you're coming out the clubs.
We'll buy you a drink later. Just be like, oh my God, yeah, podcast recorded. We're also filming it today for the first time.
Oh, wow. So what's the reasoning behind like filming as well? I love that.
Because now you can upload it on Anchor as well as a video form. And then also just kind of nice. We wanted to see how it works and maybe it's cool for people to see how we interact as well.
Yeah, to like connect the voice to a face, I think. Sometimes it's really good.
Even if it's just little clips of it, like little snippets, we're not going to post like the whole thing, I think. But
yeah.
Oh, we just wanted to try out. And you use Anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah, wicked.
Shout out to Anchor.
These are real podcast girls, by the way.
So nice to have you here. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, it's also funny because we literally just met you a few weeks ago for the first time.
It feels like we've known you for a long time. I don't think some people just feel like that.
Yeah.
Like immediately, like after the first day, I'm like, oh. I feel like
and I was like saying to Carol, I was like, we should record a podcast with this girl. And she's like, yes.
But yeah, it's the fact that like we had this full on conversation before we started recording and we went everywhere. We just started talking about everything.
No, we're talking about serious stuff, guys.
Yeah. No, so today Teresa and I decided to do like the overall topic of like diversity and just in like the model industry, as Ayul is a beautiful model. And so we thought you might be a good match for that topic. Mm. And we're just going to talk about heaps of other good stuff as well.
Yeah, because obviously I think we also had Gigi Ringel on before as a model, but we talked a little bit about diversity as well, but we were like, we can't speak about that topic. Like it's not our story to tell. So we really wanted to have someone on who can share their voice and their story and their
experiences.
So yeah, we're really happy to have you on. By the way, I think we should really be careful with hitting the table.
Yes, because it's the sound.
Make a sound, but anyways, it's just how the vibe is.
Quick disclaimer.
But yeah, maybe just let us know. I think you also, like, when did you move to Europe again?
Literally, I just like commemorated 2 months, like a couple of days ago.
Oh,
yeah.
2 months anniversary.
I've been here for 2 months now.
That's so nice. And also, like, how have you been liking living in Europe?
Lol.
Long pause.
I think I had this, like, therapy session the other week and my therapist was like, it's going to take about, like, 6 months before you get, like, settled into the UK. And it's so funny because some days I'm like, oh, my God, like, I've got it. I live here. This is amazing. This is my home. Boom. And then some days I'm like, I want to go back to Australia. I want to go back. But I'm enjoying it because I never thought that I would have the experiences that I'm having now. And I look at like the trajectory of the last maybe 4 or 6 years of my life and I'm like, that is so weird the way everything has like panned out. Like I always wanted to go to Europe. I remember like when I was in high school, they would do like a European like trip.
Mm.
And like my mom couldn't afford that. And like I didn't even have a passport at that point. And to think that like I now like living in Europe, doing the things that I wanted to do when I was like a teenager, on my own terms as well as like working and making money. Yeah, it's like it's such a privilege and I'm so thankful that I'm doing it. It's not always like glitz and glam, but I'm learning so much that I don't even like give a fuck. I'm just like, people dream to live in places like these, or people dream to like see places like these, and I'm one of the people that get to see it. So
yeah,
it's fucking amazing.
That's so nice. I feel like I've noticed it with like our friends from Australia, or just like in general, like when you grow up, for example, when you grow up in Australia, I feel like you often tend to take it for granted. And then you were like, oh my God, there's so many other places that I want to go to. But I feel like that's what Teresa and I feel like as well. Like we've been living in Europe, but now like we love Australia. And so, yeah, I think we should always appreciate wherever we are. And there's always beautiful places to see where we are. But yes, tell us a little bit about yourself. The listeners would love to know, who are you? That's a very deep question. But what do you do and how did you get to where you are right now? Tell us.
All right. So I am Ayola Yemanyok. I am a 24-year-old South Sudanese girl who was born in a refugee camp northwest of Nairobi called Kakuma. And I moved to Australia when I was about 6 years old. So it makes me like South Sudanese Australian. I'm Australian via citizenship. And I model. That's what I do. That's who I am. Yeah. I don't know if that encapsulates it. I feel like
You get started in the modeling industry? I would like to know, like, when were you like, oh, I'm going to become a model?
Well, I remember when I was younger, probably like my high school years, people would like stop me and ask me if I was a model. And it was like incessant. Like it happened a lot. And then I wasn't really like interested in it because I was like, I was dating someone at the time and I couldn't like foresee doing that because I don't know, sometimes you date like really shitty men and they're really like restrictive, which was the case. But my cousin ended up getting signed to my mother agent, Chadwick Models, and she invited me to their Christmas party 1 year as a plus one. And I was like, okay, cool. Went to the Christmas party and I met like the head agent there and she was like, I would love to like have a conversation with you. Like it would be nice to like talk to you. Gave her my email, caught up with her like the next week and she was like, we want to sign you. Went through everything and then like pretty much signed.
Like quick. And yeah. Then you're here.
Yeah. Oh, but it was cool. Like in such a small market. So I didn't really work that much. But what I did do, I did enjoy.
Is the market bigger in Europe than in Australia?
Europe is crazy.
I mean, we don't know. So yeah. Like,
it is crazy. Like, to give you an idea, every week I will do, like, okay, e-commerce, right, is like your bread and butter.
Yeah.
Everyone talks shit about e-commerce because it's quite monotonous, but if you have a really good team and you're like working e-commerce, it can be really fun. It's just quite repetitive because you're like, you're showing people what's up. But they pay well and you can live your life, do whatever you want. And e-commerce, everyone does e-commerce. It's like, it's just, that's how we like purchase stuff now. Like you just go online and you purchase it. But Australia, it was like, there's some really amazing brands in Australia that exist, but it's not to the scale that Europe is. Like Europe has everything and you guys are all so close. So you all work collaboratively with one another as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that you also had like a Mulberry campaign the other day, right?
Yeah. Mulberry campaign.
Congrats.
Thank you. Dude. Oh my gosh. What day was it? It was like Thursday. I was supposed to have the day off, but they wanted me to do e-commerce for them. E-commerce. And this was after I'd done the campaign and I like walk into the building. I'm like, oh, gotta go to work. And then I just see this big fuck off like poster from the campaign and it's like me and another girl. And I was like, whoa.
That must feel
in the foyer. Dude, it was so crazy. I like took a photo and I sent it to my mum immediately because it was huge. And then I got into the elevator and having people like in Mulberry being like, so how do you like the image?
Oh my God.
Oh shit. I hate it. What is this?
Look at that.
Take it down.
I was like, how'd you know it was me? They're like, you're in the foyer, dude. I'm like, okay, cool, cool, cool.
Oh my God. Like, just like a little fan moment. Like, am I a celebrity now? Did I make it?
I made it in Mulberry. So
that's pretty sick. Like, you should tap on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, it was amazing. It was super, super amazing. Like, the set design, the creative direction, makeup, hair. It was, yeah. It was like my first, like, full scale, like, big campaign.
So how was it, like you mentioned before, you were in a refugee camp, but like when you were a kid. So how is like the transition from living in a refugee camp with your mom and your siblings to then going on in this like everyone thinks glitz and glamour modeling world, especially being on like this big campaign? Like, how does this transition feel?
I think everybody is different. I think having lived in Australia for about like 18 years has shifted the way I think about the experiences I've had like prior to moving to Australia. Like, when I think about, I didn't even know I was a refugee until I was like 14. Mm. And that tripped me the fuck out, because for me, living in a refugee camp, I was just living amongst community. Like, I was just like living in space, you know? When I look at it now, I'm just like, oh damn, how am I one of the ones that like come out and can live a life that is filled with so many choices? That's like, for me, a question that I ponder a lot. And then, how do you also give back so somebody else is able to live a life of like full choices? But I think the beauty for me is the fact that I was very young. So when you're young, you're just like, you just want to play. You don't really have time to really fathom like the lack or the scarcity that exists within your environment. And what I saw was amazing. Like, I can't really speak to any negative experiences, maybe like getting chased by the natives, the Turkana people, which is really fucked up, but... yeah, so I don't, it's very interesting, but this is all I know now. So that's kind of like such a past gone thing. It's not forgotten. It's still very much pertinent to how I like move through the world, but I'm knowing a life of choice is what I'm very used to. And I think everyone should be used to a life of choice.
That's so interesting that you didn't know before. Like, you always thought you were just in this community and then you found out that you're a refugee. Did that change your perspective?
Oh my God. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was a refugee. Like, and Australia has some really fucked up policies about refugees and asylum seekers. Yeah.
They're it's really like, strict with refugees. They're really, oh my God.
Yeah. They have like turned the boats around. They pretty much imprison asylum seekers offshore or send them to like Papua New Guinea. They have so many fucked up like policies.
You just don't
there.
Really know much about it in Europe, because in Europe there's a whole other...
Well, when I guess once I like realized, but the thing is, it's not a big deal because everybody you know came to Australia or the States pretty much by way of like being a refugee through United Nations Human Rights Commission. So it didn't change anything. But what was different, interestingly, was the ways in which popular culture, but society in Australia spoke about refugees and like the abhorrence it had about refugees and how it was used as like a political ploy in the game. So I was like, oh, what does that mean for myself? Like, you know, Australians accept me, but I have this like history where the reason why I'm here and the reason why you get to interact with me was because I was a refugee. So what does that mean now? And then now as in like someone who's a bit older, I'm like, okay, well, that means you champion for refugees. Like, you don't shut the fuck up about it because you're here, and you're here because you were that. So, yeah, it's quite interesting, but it's just normal.
Sorry, I just sneezed. Bless you. Sorry, we'll continue.
Yeah, so it's just, it's normal. It's just like, it's just something that you just remember. Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah.
It must be like a big... like a big transition, and now that you can actually think about it and you're like
being grateful for also where you are, and like
yeah,
you said, the
sure.
opportunities that we all have. I think we all should just sometimes stop for a second and think, hey, like what you said before, living in this place is amazing. Or like when we're
at Portugal really lucky,
and we were like so consumed with things that were going on, we were just like, wait, okay, we're in this beautiful place, like we should be so happy that we even have the choice to go on vacation, go do these things, go, you know, travel through Europe. And I think it's really...
But you deserve it as well. Like, yeah. That's the thing. It's like you really do. Like, you really do. Like, it's, of course, you practice gratitude and you're like, whoa, you know, like... Because happiness is relative. So we might look at people who don't have like an abundance of choice, who still make do and find joy in whatever they have or don't have. And then we like go on holiday and we're like, fuck, this is amazing. But you deserve it.
Yeah. I always get those like thoughts when I look out on the ocean. I always get like really like, oh, life's beautiful. It's like always when I look.
I sometimes catch you, you're just like staring in the void and I'm like, is she okay?
Are you a water sign? I don't.
A what?
A water sign?
No, I'm air. I'm Libra.
Oh, I'm air. Oh yeah, we're both Libra. Wow. Sorry, I'm air. You're air. I'm not the biggest star sign girl. I'm trying to become.
What are you?
I am a water sign. I'm Cancer.
Oh.
Yeah. The crybaby, allegedly.
Yeah, I wish I would know what like Cancer means. Be like, oh yes, I can see it, but.
I know a lot about like Scorpio, Libra, and Pisces, but Cancer, I haven't really looked into it.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I am, okay, right, this is back to the refugee story. So my real birthday, like my actual real birthday, which you could find if the documents were released, is like the 13th of March. But because we had to like apply for, like, what is it? A humanitarian visa to get to Australia and live there. Like my uncle was doing all the forms and he literally like botched all my siblings and mine's birthday. So I'm actually a Pisces. That's my real birthday.
Oh, because my mum's a Pisces as well. She's on the 12th of March.
Oh my fucking goodness.
I know.
Shit.
Your soulmates basically.
Wow.
No, but yes, she's a Pisces. But yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, my mum's a Pisces as well.
But when and like, what's the birthday that you have now? Like
the 21st of June, 98.
21st. Sorry, just because I thought 21st of March, but that's my dad's birthday, and I was like, oh my god. But anyways, we're kind of getting off topic. Anyways, so yeah, I also have a question because obviously, as a South Sudanese model, a beautiful, beautiful woman, you definitely stand out in the industry, and even though nowadays, like concerning diversity and everything in the industry, there's a big shift happening. Do you ever feel, though, that you've been treated differently?
I was, like, writing some notes about this question and I was, like, the first thing I wrote was, I am different. Because I am. But I think the ways that I have been treated differently is by not acknowledging my difference. Like, in terms of, like, my hair, my makeup, you know, sometimes... You know, you get like in mainly these are Australian experiences because I think Europe is a bit more not advanced, but they have the wherewithal and there are like other people within the industry that exist who have made it in. But in Australia, I remember like my hair being like such a fucking thing all the time.
I guess you have to be the hairdresser has to be able to, because it's such a different type of hair. I think they have to... They always
braid
use
it, or like,
yeah, no. But I feel like they're you have to be able to actually
style
it, yeah. And like actually be able to. I forgot the word, but like,
I don't know anything.
It's like
so
obviously
like,
different to like really straight, like thin hair. Like you actually have to be able to work with it and like do something good of it. So I can imagine that must be like a hard thing.
It was just like, I don't know. It was a little bit frustrating at times, but. I kind of got to a point where my attitude was like, well, it's kind of on you, really. Like, you booked me and you know what kind of hair I have and you haven't done your research. So that's limiting on your behalf, because if you're trying to be creative, you've limited a whole, like, a big part of your project by not understanding what you could have done with a UOL.
Yeah.
So I just started like, I just had just one hairstyle that I was like marketed as via my agency, and then just kind of like went on and just, yeah, it never really like got to me once, and I was like, well, I'm happy here. So, but it's, you know, I've had like friends tell me about like makeup being done wrong and the shades of makeup. And when makeup artists say you don't need anything, sometimes that can be like a cop out from not, from not like having the right like shade for a model, which has happened as well. And it's like, it's really sweet. Like I understand where the comment is coming from, and it comes from a good place. But if you say that and then you do nothing with the makeup, that's on you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Especially if you booked as a makeup artist. There's a reason they booked a makeup artist if they don't do anything, you know?
Like, yeah.
Like, why are you even there?
And you've been prepped. You've been like literally prepped that this person was going to come. But that's okay. We forgive. We have compassion.
No, but I think it's important to speak up about it, obviously, so then they can learn from it and make it better for the next generations to come, or the, even not even next generations, like the next models to come.
The next generation.
The next generation.
Yeah, you're getting kind of older, so you need a joke to come in. No, but I think it's just also interesting jokes. Like, yeah, obviously we both don't know anything about it, and it's really, I think, important for us to also know and understand that this is an issue going on, because we've never really had that issue, obviously. So I think it's really important to speak up about it. But also going back to the changes that we talked about in the modeling industry, everyone's talking about diversity, and like also like diversity in the sense of different body types and ethnicities. Do you see this change, or do you think it's all just like on the surface, like, hey, we're so diverse now?
I think when I look at the conversation of diversity within the industry, I kind of look at it holistically. Like, I look at, okay, cool, you've got like the model who's the face, but I'm really always curious about who is in the background, because that would influence who would be at the front, because who is pushing to have a wide spectrum of models represent a company. It's usually like casting directors, it's usually creative directors, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm always curious about who those people are, because that's what would actually shift what's happening at the front. And I'm not even kidding. That was like my first runway in London. The casting director was this beautiful gay black man. And so the show was Alawalia. And you should have seen the lineup of models. It was like literally the most beautiful black and brown people I've ever seen. Like, that was, yeah, that was phenomenal. And that's because it was like a black casting director who understood the assignment, went out and got the people that were necessary for the show. Do I see the diversity happening? I think London is really good for diversity in terms of like body types and ethnicities. I still haven't worked in Paris or Milan or New York, so I can't really speak to them yet. But I know Paris is still quite like traditional in like the body type that it wants. Yeah, that's a very interesting one.
So you haven't worked in Paris yet?
I worked like one time. Yeah. So, but I haven't like worked, but hopefully I will very soon. Yeah. Fingers crossed. And then we can actually come back.
I can see
back.
You there. Yeah. Even though I still like, I really agree with what you say with like the whole change that is happening everywhere, but I feel like Paris is still very like traditional in like, yeah, the body shapes definitely, because they have a lot of high fashion, and high fashion is always just like, well, high fashion, so we can do whatever we want kind of thing, which is sad, but I guess maybe the change is coming there as well. I hope you can't hear the motorcycles in the background, though.
But yeah, like concerning that, like, are there any changes that you would like to see specifically?
Changes I would like to see. Bad bitches who are like size 16 plus in haute couture. That would be really wicked to see.
Oh my God, yes.
That would actually be really wicked to see. Because anyone should be able to wear haute couture. Anyone should be able to feel so good like that, to have something custom made. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it starts, if you think about it, I watched a documentary yesterday. I can really recommend it. It's called Victoria's Secret Demons and Angels on Hulu. It's about Victoria's Secret and like Jeffrey Epstein, like the connection. But they also talk about like in 2014, how there was this Victoria's Secret campaign, which was called The Perfect Body. And it was just the Victoria's Secret Angels. And then this whole discussion started about body positivity. And then it started this hashtag called Everyone's an Angel. And then there was like all these plus size women, or not even plus, I hate the word plus size, but like just beautiful woman.
Normal
like also
woman.
Like, yeah, different ranges. Like, it's not just plus size. Because I feel like in the modeling industry, a lot of times it's just plus size or just really skinny, yeah. Nothing in between. And it was all these beautiful women who did beautiful things and not like, yeah, like you said, also had a background and talked about their background, and they had the hashtag not just, like, we're all angels. And I thought that was really cute because I never
That's
heard of that.
So sweet.
I fully didn't see that in 2000. I guess I was 14, so it was somewhere else in my head. But I just saw that. I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like, yeah, everyone is an angel. Everyone should have the opportunity to be their own beauty and just show that beauty.
Yeah. And then it's like, it's a bit difficult because the industry kind of decides who's beautiful or who isn't.
Yes, I know. And that's what I hate about it. It's like when, like, I don't know, when those like normal looking women and they look at, for example, like a campaign and they're like, I don't look like this woman. And then they immediately think I'm not beautiful. And that's what I think is like one of the most negative and toxic traits of that industry. And it's, I would really like to see a change in there as well. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, I've been through that as well, where I'm just like, I look at an advertisement or commercial and I'm like, oh, she's so beautiful, but I don't look like her. Like, and then you immediately question yourself and your own beauty. And I don't like that. You know, I feel like we're all beautiful in our own kinds of ways, and there shouldn't be an industry that tells you that you're not, that you're beautiful or not.
Yeah. I will say though, UK advertising scene is actually really inclusive.
Mm.
I get on the fucking tube and like I'll see like an ad for like, oh, if you travel between this time and this time, you can only pay like £2 something. And it'd be like a beautiful gay couple going out for the night, or like a beautiful black couple. And I've never seen an abundance of like black people doing just regular shit, like buying insurance or like doing something that like normal people do. I didn't have that in Australia. So that's been like really interesting to see. I'm like, oh yeah, because we do this as well. Everybody does this. So it like, yeah, just have it around and let people, yeah.
Yeah, I never noticed that fully actually, but now that you mention it, I think, yeah, definitely gotten better. Even the train, like Deutsche Bahn ads, they're really diverse now. And I think, so when we look at changes where it's like, oh, this could be better. But yeah, I think we did make a change because like I said, the documentary I watched yesterday, if you look at like old modeling shows that used to be like on TV in 2009 and you look at them and sometimes you're like, whoa, what do they say? Like, how did they even say that? Or like measure the girls in front of the camera, that kind of stuff. Like, where nowadays you would just be like, that wouldn't be possible. That you would,
you can't do that. Yeah,
like cancelled. Even though I hate cancel culture as well, but that's another topic. But I think sometimes we also have to appreciate that there are changes about to happen. I think to see it positively in the sense that like we're making changes by speaking up about it, talking about it. And also like, as much as you can hate social media, I think social media also definitely points at issues that are still there and tries to educate people about it.
Yeah, it definitely has an upside and advantages of conveying a good message about that as well. So I agree.
Yeah, I think it always comes back to like the user. Like, what are they, like, how are their algorithms being like set? What are you looking at? What are you talking about? Because that's where sometimes I say something and the next thing you know, I'm like getting an advertisement on it.
Oh my God.
On Twitter. So Jeff Bezos, Apple, I know you guys are listening.
It's actually scary and creepy as fuck. Like, I don't know. I talked to my boyfriend about like gym shorts. 10 minutes later, an hour later, I get an ad on Instagram for gym shorts and on Zalando. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, this is
happens all the time.
This is
all the
scary. Time. This is actually scary.
I only have cat reels on my Instagram right now because I called my mom the other day, but like asking how her cat is. Literally, I mean, I'm not complaining. I love those cat reels, but it's just like, I was on my phone with my boyfriend. I was like, why do I get so many cat reels? And I was like, oh, like literally my feed, you know how like Instagram does like all the reels now on your
My God.
I don't see photos of my friends. I just see cats. Yeah. Like,
imagine you're like on the train and someone sits next to you and they're like, what is she?
I'm the crazy cat lady. I'll admit it. Like I said, not complaining. I've gotten weirder shit before, especially like on TikTok. Sometimes you get like weird stuff.
I know.
And then you get like this weird algorithm, but I'm trying to like not be on it too much. But yeah, it's so true how you just, your phone listens to you 24/7.
It's actually scary. Like, like at some conversations, I would love to put my phone out of the room and just like talk. Like, it's so scary.
What conversations are you having?
Deep and serious ones.
Oh, God. But anyways, let's go to the next question. We're getting off topic again. But I would also really like to know, because you were, like, you are South Sudanese girl. So when you're in Australia, I guess there weren't that many South Sudanese girls in your class or, like, in general in your...
Don't quote me on this, but, like, there is a large diaspora of South Sudanese people in Australia. So I'm very fortunate that I had that. And I would say I'm loving the way I've come up in the industry because I've done that with my sisters from Australia. And it's amazing. Like, we're, a lot of us are in the UK right now and we'll just hang out. And it's just so good. Like, I speak to my therapist about how one of the things that helps me through this whole situation is having, like, girlfriends who I know from Australia who now we're in the UK together doing this thing together, and we get to, like, hang out and we, like, share the same experiences. Like, hey, this happened, my agent didn't do this, or, like, oh my god, how was this, like, casting, or da-da-da-da. And it's just so, so nice to have that. So I'm very lucky that I actually had that, but I know people who went, like, previous to us probably didn't have that. Because it's only recently that I think, like, the beauty of South Sudanese people is really being showcased within the industry.
Yeah, so how was it, like, when you, I mean, you had it a little bit, but how do you see, like, gaining that confidence in, like, being your honest self and just be like, hey, I'm beautiful, I'm here? Because I feel like every girl struggles with that at one point, like, acknowledging, like we said before, that they're beautiful. And then I feel like the industry is... far as I know from friends and family, can be very harsh on you and sometimes, like, also steal your confidence, I feel like. So how did you manage to be so confident? Because to me, you seem like such a confident girl.
Well, love it. It's so funny because when I first moved to Melbourne from Perth and started modelling in Melbourne, like, I just kind of, like, got on the ball, started running and just doing really well. And when I got to the UK, I was hanging out with my cousin who also models. And she's like, man, I remember when you first came. And we're like, who the fuck is this girl? She's coming, she's taking our jobs. But she's like, you also have a voice. And I'm like, yeah, I just be talking, you know, I just like to have a chat. But I think going to university for a couple of years and, like, studying social work and understanding a little bit about society and psychology and all these, like, different topics, as well as being someone who's an avid reader who reads a lot about, like, Black feminist criticism, I kind of have already unpacked, like, beauty standards. I've already kind of unpacked gender and sexuality and things that really do come out within the industry. And then growing up in a community where it's super patriarchal and, like, if you want to be heard, you literally have to fight to be heard. So I don't know. I grew up around a lot of women, so everyone talks. But just realizing that, like, my voice does matter. Like, obviously a lot of things happen. One of the things that I find hard is when I'm, like, in a relationship and I don't feel like I'm being heard, because it takes me back to, like, the child who was not heard. So I've moved past that, and I always try to remember Audre Lorde, your silence will not protect you, because, like, my silence didn't protect me when I was a kid. So now as an adult, I can consciously choose to talk, because even if I talk, I might be able to create an interruption. But I don't know, it's just like... It's become habitual now that it's a bit hard to explain because it's so multifaceted and complex. But I'm at a point now where I'm like, I don't really want to be quiet. Like, I want to talk. I spent so many years being quiet, and I get more from being loud than being quiet now.
You should be loud. It's so nice. Like, literally, I think it's so important to speak up about anything. And like you said, I think a lot of women have been quiet about a lot of things, and you can see all these beautiful women and man, last couple of years coming out about things and just starting a conversation. And I think that's also why we want to do podcasts, just giving you a voice or people a voice to tell their story or our story and just share conversations, because I think it's so, so important to speak up and not hold everything in. And I think, yeah, it's beautiful to see it as a boost of confidence to realize that you're able to share your voice and not be shunned. And people will always be like, shut up, like, I don't want to hear what you say. Like, I always got told as well when I was younger that I'm too loud, too this, too anything. But I think just realizing that, hey, no, I'm not too loud. Maybe you're just fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
So. Fucking
asshat.
Well, let me ask you guys, like, when did you kind of like say, I'm going to fucking talk? When, what was that kind of journey like for you guys?
I always think about that. It's kind of interesting because I've always been a very shy and quiet child, and I don't remember when the switch happened, but then all of a sudden I was like the talking kid in school who never shut up, and I've stayed like that the whole time. Like, literally, you see video, my mom said when I was like a baby, I never screamed, I never had like talked or anything. Like, I was the quietest, most easygoing child, like as a small kid, never screamed anything, like never talked. And then I think
it
when
changed.
I was like, I don't know what happened, but then all of a sudden I was
puberty
just like,
hit.
That was even before puberty.
Oh, really?
Like fourth grade, I started all of a sudden just cheering and never stopped. My mom literally's like, I don't know when that happened. And I have like this little like mole on my back. My friends used to call it the power button to like turn me on and off. Actually really mean looking at it, but like,
oh,
I don't know.
God.
But I don't know when I felt like, I feel like a lot of times I talk a lot, like you said, and nothing really comes out. And I sometimes have to remind myself, no, my voice is valid, but sometimes I feel like I'm just chattering a lot, you know?
For me, it's also kind of my like half origin. I'm like half Brazilian. So I don't know. I have it like inherently in me just to kind of, I love bringing myself out there. Like, but then on the other hand, like I also have the German side inside. Like, it's like the two opposites just connected.
Yeah, are the Germans like meek? I don't understand.
The Germans are just super like shy and just like I don't know. They're like, but not all the Germans though. Like, they're just very, how to say, reserved.
Yeah, reserved.
Yeah, and then Brazilians are just like, bam, bam, bam. They love talking and everything. So sometimes I'm kind of in the in between.
Yeah.
Like, am I like more Brazilian right now or German?
I
don't know. Yeah.
You're like, sometimes you're like quiet, but then in that next second you're like very like.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I guess that's the beauty of it. Just sort of changing in between those two.
But yeah, I don't think we both have like a point where we're like, oh yeah. I'm like confident.
That's where I started.
Yeah. Like, something happened to me and I'm like, no, I'm confident. And I guess
it's been like building over time.
Yeah.
Meeting people as well, talking to people, meeting the right friends, I think as well, like finding your community, because I've been surrounded by a few people that weren't good for me, like you said as well. And then they kind of like try to hide your confidence and make you feel uncomfortable.
Put you down.
Put you down. So I think letting go of those people and finding the people that want to hear my voice and want to hear what I have to say.
Mm. Yeah, it's all about the people you surround yourself with, like that inspire you to actually talk up or to, you know, be yourself and have a voice. I think it's always like a lot about the people that you're with and that you surround yourself with. You become the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Like, do you know, like, I think it's like
five,
you become the five people that you surround yourself with.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Environment, man, it's everything.
Counting. Okay, so this one, let's go. No, just kidding.
I think the biggest one, though, when it comes to like voice is like when you look at powerful women in history, like none of them were quiet. And I try to remember that always. I'm like, it's not going to do you any good if you want to make change. Like, change makers speak, you know?
Yeah, like you won't attain any change if you are silent.
Yeah.
I'm reading All About Love right now. I'm obsessed.
Right.
I want to read all of the books.
If I'm quiet now, then I won't mess up the podcast. How good is All About Love?
It's so good. We plan on doing a whole episode about it, just talking about like the theme of love, because it really, I think, is one of the few books that really changed my perspective.
Yeah.
It's really good. And I really want to read more of hers because she, even though English is not my first language, I feel like I really understand everything she puts out. And every page I'm like, yes, yes.
Yes,
like,
girl.
Preach. Like, oh.
Shout out to Bell Hooks, who passed away last year. Literally like my favorite author. When I discovered her, that's when things started to change for me, when I discovered Bell Hooks, because she was like, talk your shit. It's so valid. But love and violence cannot coexist. I was like, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, that's where I was literally at like last week, and I read it and I was like just everything. You should read it as well. It's so good.
I want to now.
I want to read all of her books. I like literally like I was halfway through the book and I was like, okay, I need to read more of her book.
What's
like,
the next one? I'm going to buy it.
Like literally I was like, okay, Amazon, like give me those books.
Oh
gosh, I love that. Yeah. You're gonna, yeah, it's gonna really like transform how you look at yourself, how you look at like platonic friendships and relationships. It's gonna be great.
So maybe my point of finding my voice is now from reading the book.
Nah, you already got a voice.
True, okay, you know, but like my time of development.
Yeah.
But yeah, just because you said like black women who like own their voice, I was like, bell hooks. Just came to my mind. Yeah. Obviously other ones as well.
Yeah.
But I would also like to know, since we talked about like finding your voice, like how do you want to continue to use your voice as well? Because now you're kind of somewhat a public figure as a model.
That is so hilarious. When I saw that like question, I started laughing because I consciously do not see myself like that at all. I do not. I can't. I don't know people who like who are actually public figures and what they think about themselves.
Mm. But that's actually like a question like that plays into the question I also wanted to ask you. Like, do you see yourself as a role model?
I see myself as someone who literally is here and is with the shits. Like, I've come to live as greatly as I possibly can. Like, that's all. And I try to do it like, not in fuck respectability. Like, I just really try to do it in my own way. I try to respect myself. I try to respect other people. But I grew up in such a, I don't know, like a pressure cooker community where it was like, you had to be this one thing. The fact that I'm like 24, living out of home, unmarried, like it's like really fucked up. Like, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be like married with children with a degree, you know, like this is, I've like, and it's not like, it's not huge in the grand scheme of things because I'm around so many like white folks who like do this and it's like chilled. But I remember like trying when I was like moving to Melbourne for the first time, I was leaving home and I like told my mum and she was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, no, like I'm going to be moving soon. She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. She didn't believe me. She didn't believe I was going to do it. So I don't know. I just feel like I've done some things that were unparalleled. Well, not unparalleled. They just weren't what women like me are supposed to do. And so it's my duty to continue to live it out so that other people can see that it's doable if that is what they choose. I've chosen to live like this. I love living like this. I think my life has like, oh, I've been gifted tenfold by making decisions like these. Not easy decisions at all, but what I've gained is an appreciation for myself and I don't know, like, I really think I'm an adult now. I'm like, yeah, I look after myself. I know how to navigate the world. And that's what I wanted as a kid. I wanted to see the world and I'm doing it. So I don't see myself as a role model. I just see someone who's like, I don't know, not unapologetic, because I'd be apologizing.
So, like, wasn't it, I think we, when we were in Portugal, this is another topic, but like when we were in Portugal, we were all like really hungover. And then we were all just like, today we just exist. We don't do anything. We just exist. So I think, I feel like we're all just going through life and we're just existing, you know, like that's just, that should be the mantra of life, yeah. You know, just to exist and go with the flow and go through it. I feel
and
like
enjoy
there's,
life.
Yeah. There's so many like nowadays. So many things you have to be able, like you have to do, like study and work and everything.
Find your purpose in life.
Find your purpose. And there's so many things that you have to attain. Happiness. There's so much pressure on us. And then when we don't go this way, we go up like another path. We start feeling guilty, but we shouldn't. So I love you saying that. You're just going through life and just doing your thing. And you should keep doing that.
Like, what the hell am I doing in Berlin having this conversation? Like, what the hell?
No, but I think that's actually like a really beautiful way of seeing it, like just being unapologetic about what you're doing and just fuck them all and just be like, hey, not fuck them all. But
in the end, it's your life. It's like your life. It's no one else's. It's yours. And I feel like that's a hard pill to swallow for some people.
Especially parents. Yeah.
Especially coming out of the community that you come out of where everything's so strict.
Yeah.
It's very brave to just be like, hey, I don't want this. I'm breaking out of the ordinary.
Like, it's her life. Let her do whatever she feels like doing. And
yeah,
it's
so
her
funny.
Journey.
Shout out to my mom. She's literally my favorite person. Like, we've come such a long way. And like, she's starting to understand. I'm like, mom, like, did you ever think that I'd live so far away? And I think the more she realized that the experiences I'm having have, like, actually made me a better person within the family, she was like, oh.
That will make her happy as well.
Yeah, so she was just like, oh, she's actually fine. Like, she knows I talk to all my siblings. She knows that, like, I'm always connected. And she knows I don't lie to her. I'd be telling her the truths. I used to lie, but I don't lie to her no more.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. No, we live in our truth.
I solemnly swear that we only talk the truth on this podcast. Mom, if you're listening to this.
Mums can listen to this.
But, like, do we have any other questions?
No. My phone just turned off.
No, and we don't.
Just like, that's all I wanted to hear as well. Like,
fantastic.
You're just so inspirational. And like I said, we only met you a few weeks ago, but I know that we will see each other more often.
Yeah.
You're not getting rid of us.
No, I don't want to.
Going to go out this afternoon and we're going to celebrate
existing.
Yeah.
Shut up. There's so many cars in this.
I know. It's actually a really quiet street, but sometimes it's just...
Yeah, when you record a podcast, it's not.
Always. Remember when we wanted to record and the neighbor was drilling?
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Love, guys. Love. Only love. Anyways.
Just exist.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you all for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and inviting me to be here. Seriously.
Sorry, this car.
So that's just like how we love a podcast. Just a bit like... You know,
yeah.
The beauty of a Saturday morning. Anyways, love to everyone.
It was a pleasure to talk to you. We were so excited. We're still so excited. And we hope you guys like it too. The first episode of the new season. Teresa and I are still a bit out of practice, but it will get better.
You know, it's all about coming on and showing up. And yeah, lots of love to everyone out there.
And don't forget, wherever you are, you're exactly where you need to be. Don't forget to be present. And we hope you have a lovely summer day, winter day, or wherever you are. And we will see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.